evening, and thank you for joining the Voice of Many podcast with your hosts, Yolanda and Vanessa. This afternoon, we have with us a guest who was born in Athens, Greece, as an Air Force brat, but now she is in the NC. Yes, NC, North Carolina. She's also a graduate from UNC Greensboro. She has been writing and helping small businesses, creating, publishing, you name it. She's been doing it all. And one thing is she's also have won, let's say, numerous awards on her shoulder. I mean, she's done so much and continuing to do even more. But today we have with us Terry Brown, and Ms. Brown is going to speak with us about one of her latest books, and it is called Sunflowers Beneath the Snow. Welcome, Ms. Terry. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure having you. And let's just dive in. Talk to us about this book, this wonderful
All
book.
Right. All right. So Sunflowers Beneath the Snow is a historical fiction, and it is ironically set in Ukraine. And it came out in January, right before Russia invaded Ukraine. So it is incredibly timely. It follows three generations of women. It starts in 1973, during the time when Ukraine was still part of the Soviet Union. And we follow it all the way through to 2016, 2 years after Russia invades Ukraine for the first time back in 2014. And so the book kind of starts with the idea that there's a husband and a wife, and the husband he's got kind of a rebellious streak to him, and he wants Ukraine to be free. And the Soviet Union, of course, doesn't want anything like it. And so he's doing a little bit of spying, and he gets caught, and he has a choice of either dying or being whisked away. And he chooses to leave. But in doing so, he leaves his wife and daughter. And that's kind of where the story really starts. And then we follow his wife and then his daughter and eventually his granddaughter as they kind of go through life in Ukraine through these different periods of time in the Ukraine.
And it's so ironic to where now we're talking about your book and we see the second invasion of, you know, Ukraine taking place.
So, I tell everybody it's really crazy that it's a historical fiction that is also ripped from the headlines. It's
wow. And, you know, and then too, you think about how many families have been separated as a result of what is happening now. And it ties in with your book even more, where a lot of the men stayed back to fight while, you know, the women and the children went ahead. So, is really, really ironic. And
it is. I've had people ask me, how did you know? And it's like, no. No. So I was telling you earlier, I got the idea for this story in 2016, and I didn't write it until 2018. And I didn't get it to a publisher until 2021. And then it came out in January of 2022. So the timing is truly just coincidental. Crazy. Crazy would be the right word. But I'm really thankful that it came out when it did, because I think that it's going to give people, when they read it, I've been told that it helps people understand kind of the background of, you know, what is going on that Russia is invading now. It'll give you kind of a background understanding of the relationship between these two countries. And then the other thing that it does is, you know, we live here in the United States, and it's really easy to see this war as just something that's happening over there, far away, you know. And yes, it affects us to a small degree, but really, you and I get up in the morning and we eat our breakfast and we head about our day. And And we hear about it on the news, and I'm not saying we don't feel, but it isn't anything that truly touches us. But after reading the book, you kind of now know people. That's the way it feels. Mm. And once you know someone in a situation, how you feel about that situation is different. So I'm hoping that the book will kind of generate an empathy. Right. Because I think the only way to get rid of this war and hatred is through empathy and understanding.
So true. So true. You want to add to that, Vanessa?
I was just going to say the fact that, too, it's showing where the generations are now and where they came from, mm-hmm. from your book. And like you said, it will give more people a perspective of what are they are going through now, but also what they went through before, and why people of Ukraine fight so hard.
Yeah.
Because they've been through this so many times and they're sick and tired of it. But at the same time too, they are survivors, mm-hmm. and they just continue to fight because they know it's not right. And at the same time too, their families are being affected. They have families who are in Russia and in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So it makes things exactly. difficult for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not an easy situation. It's not something that we can just, you know, throw a Band-Aid on. It's a very yeah. long-term yeah. situation, and it's going to take a lot to get this straightened out. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I'm hoping that by reading, you know, you and I can't go to Russia. We can't go to Ukraine right now. I mean, those options are really off the table. Yeah. So how else can we really learn and understand? And I think one of the ways is through literature. That's how you can put yourself in the shoes of someone else and get that understanding of, you know, like, what are they going through? Mm-hmm. And the three generations of women, they see things very differently. You know, you have the one who pretty much grew up with Soviet control, and it's what she knew, and she kind of was a party line tower. And then her daughter, who had more of that rebellious spirit, and then the granddaughter, who's kind of like, what's the big deal? We're free. Why are you still complaining about it? And then to find out that then Russia invades and like knocks her world apart. And so it's really interesting to watch how those women kind of navigate all the different things that are happening in Ukraine.
Wow. So what has been your biggest takeaway from your book so far?
I think I've been really surprised. I've heard from a lot of people who have Ukrainian heritage. And one of my, you know, you always have that fear in the back of your head, like, I'm not Ukrainian. And I'll tell you in a minute how I got the idea for the story, but I'm not Ukrainian. I've never been to the Ukraine. I don't speak Ukrainian. And you worry a little bit, like, what if I got it wrong?
Mm.
You know, like what if my idea wasn't right? I did a lot of research, but what if I got it wrong? But I've been hearing from people with Ukrainian heritage who have told me that's exactly it. That's what my family lived. And so I think the big takeaway for me is that, you know, it is as accurate as a fiction book can be. You know, it's not a history book.
Yeah.
But it is historical fiction, and I really did my best to try to keep the history as true as I could, given that I had fictional characters.
Mm. So, and go ahead, tell us about, you said you're going to tell us more about how
I came up with the idea. Yeah.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, so the youngest character of the three daughters is very loosely based off of someone that I know. My two of my three daughters worked at a Girl Scout camp every summer as camp counselors, and they always have international students that come in too. And one of these international students was a girl by the name of Ksenia, who was from Ukraine, and she came in 2013 and then was lucky enough to be able to come back again in 2014. But in August, when it was time to go home, she couldn't go because Russia had invaded Ukraine, and Russia had invaded Ukraine exactly where her parents lived. So there was no home to go home to. Her parents were okay. They had to relocate, but she couldn't get home. So she got her visa extended and started working with a lawyer trying to get that emergency ability to stay in the United States. Mm-hmm. And her lawyer said, you know, I'm not going to get it done fast enough. It's not moving fast enough. We're going to have to send you to Poland and put you in a refugee camp. Mm. And she didn't want to do that. She doesn't speak Polish. Her family wasn't in Poland. You know, if she can't be in Ukraine with her family, then she'd rather stay where she was. So she went to New York City and she kind of disappeared into the Brighton Beach area and continued working with a lawyer. A few months later, was able to get whatever that status is that allowed her to be here legally and permanently, at least, you know, during this period of time. And in 2016, she came to visit one of my girls for her birthday, sitting in my office, and she's telling me this little tiny sliver of a story of something that happened to her in New York City. And I thought, that just can't be true. Like, we must be having a communication barrier. There is no way that what she's saying and I'm hearing are the same thing. So I repeated it to her and she agreed that it was true. And I thought, that little sliver of a story has got to be a book or a movie or something. And so I ended up creating 82,000 words of fiction so I could tell that little tiny sliver of a story.
Wow.
So in the very last chapter, not the epilogue, but in the last chapter, the last two or three pages, that's real. Everything else is not.
Well, those watching, those listening, in order to find out what happened, we strongly recommend that you go ahead and get the book. Oh, my goodness. That is something. So what has brought you, I know you talk about different Ukrainians, you know, people from the area telling you how much they appreciate, how much they can say, yes, this is what happened. But what has drawn your faith in this walk, this journey that you've taken with this book?
This book has been, we'd have to go so far back in my life. I spent 14 years in an emotionally abusive relationship. And when I heard this story, I was still in that relationship. And I knew this was a story that needed to be written, but I couldn't write it because I didn't believe in myself. I mean, I didn't believe I had the ability to even consider writing it, despite the fact that I was writing for small businesses and doing well with that. I had been told there was no way that I could do something like this. And so I didn't believe in myself. And I left that relationship in 2017. And I wrote this book in 2018, but I was still afraid to get it to anyone. Because what if it's no good? What if it's, you know, I didn't need anyone to tell me that I couldn't do it. Like, mm-hmm. I already knew that. And so the idea of handing it to someone was really miserable. So I ended up remarrying, which is like a whole podcast all in itself, because I was never having another relationship. You know, I was done with all of that. And, but I got remarried and my husband had always wanted to ride across the United States on a tandem bicycle. So, or on a bicycle, we ended up doing it on a tandem. And in the summer of 2020, we rode from the coast of Oregon to Washington, D.C., 3,102 miles on a bicycle. So, yeah, I'm watching your mouth. That's what everybody does. The kind of, whoa. Whoa. And I wanted that experience because I felt like I wanted to prove to people that I still had something in me, you know, something more. And really, I think that I needed to prove to myself. And when I got home from that trip, I realized I can do anything. I'm capable. And I turned my book into a publisher and it got accepted. And so I think that for me, it's been a whole journey for me. And it's not so much about the book as it's about the changes in me, where I've realized that I am capable of doing anything I set my mind to. And the question now isn't, can you do it? But do you want to?
So true.
So how can those who are watching and listening get a hold of your book?
So my website is www.terrymbrown, and that's Terry with one R, .com. The book can be purchased there. And if you purchase it through my website, then I can go ahead and sign it and send it on to you. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. Pretty much anywhere that you can get a book, you can get Sunflowers Beneath the Snow. You can also follow me on all of my social media. All of that is at my website. It's very easy to find. I made it, you know, big and bold. You can't miss it.
And we'll definitely make sure that those watching as well as those that are listening have access to all of your sites. And so they can purchase your book and find out what happens on those last few pages.
That's true. And remember, Mother's Day is coming up.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you so much, Terry, for joining us and giving us this honor of telling us about your book.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoy being on a podcast and talking with people and letting them know, you know, my story and what's going on with the book. And like I said, I really hope that people can understand that, you know, we need to be thinking about Ukraine and doing what we can to support them.
Yes, so very true. So very true.
And for those of you who are watching and listening, please don't forget to follow us on our social media pages. And please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button, as we don't want you to miss out on any of our great guests or great topics. We want to thank you all for tuning in, and we will talk to you all later.